This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Walt Magnuson of Texas A&M and the iTech 2 program. Walt, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
As always, Donnie, it's my pleasure.
So, one of my favorite things that you guys do at Texas A&M, at your great facility down there, is the Winter Institute. Can you tell us a little bit about when that's happening this year?
Sure. So we have the workshop and the exercise scheduled for the week of January 27 through 31 of 2020. So it's coming up next month already. And in that program, we're actually doing the workshop on Monday all day, Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. And then we switch over to the exercise Wednesday afternoon for the rest of the week.
Okay, so that'll go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the exercise?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the exercise, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the workshop. A number of people commented last year that they really wanted to be involved with both, and we would run the two concurrently in the past, and people were feeling like they were having to decide where to be. So this year, for the first time, we're going to deconflict it.
Okay. Wow, that sounds great. I know, a lot of people I can see really enjoying that. So tell us about you all always run cool scenarios and things like that. And you know, one of the challenges in public safety, I think, is that for years and years, all of your incident command has been based on, hey, I've got these voice communication tools to work with, and you know, now you have all these incredible data possibilities and new tools and things, but I'm not sure if the traditional incident command, model was really built to handle all of that. Are you guys doing anything in your scenarios to help address some of that?
Yeah, so the lead communications person up to this point has been the COMMOL, and the COMMOL, you know, would really manage frequency coordination and distributing radios and things like that, and a voice-centric operation. The COMMOL has a different skill set than now that we're switching over to, with FirstNet and all of the data services we're doing. Really what's happening is there's concern that the COMMOL training and the COMMOL position by itself wasn't enough. So FEMA has created an additional position within the incident command structure. It's referred to as the ITSL, or the Information Technology Service Unit Lead. So it's kind of based on what the Army does with their operations. So if you can kind of imagine, you've got an Army squadron or Army platoon going out on patrol, there's typically a Signal Corps person that is out in the unit working with them. The reason for that has been that, you know, the Department of Defense heavily depends upon communication systems for all of their actions. But we also all know that complex technology is going to go down at some time. So they have a Signal Corps person there to deal with that kind of thing. Well, the ITSL really is kind of the equivalence of that. So to kind of prepare us for that, FEMA has created a ITSL training program. And the ITSL training program basically consists of two things. It consists of a training class, and they've run at least two of the training classes in a beta mode that I know of, where they've had students involved in each of the training classes. But it also then involves a task book, where you have to get certain tasks signed off to get your formal certification. So we are working this year's exercise around the ITSL training structure. So what will happen is, in the scenario or in the MESL, as we're doing the exercise, we'll embed incidents that the trainee will be able to do that will result in signing off of an item in their task book.
Okay, all right. And you brought up measles. Can you clarify to people? I know that doesn't involve a virus of any kind.
Right, sorry. The measle is the master event scenario list. So if this were a movie, the measle would be the script. So in this case here, it's going to, our exercise is going to focus on a cyber attack. So the cyber attack basically hits, all of a sudden we get indication of the cyber attack at 9 a.m. And as a result, certain systems start to go down. And some of the systems that are disabled end up actually causing, in our case, causing some physical damage as well. Gas leaks, power outages, and things like that that cause other actions to have to be kicked in. So in this case here, the measles is going to start off with a cyber attack. And we're building this exercise around three communities, one at Disaster City, one at our RELIS campus, which is a campus where we do an awful lot of research just north of town. It's an old Air Force base. And then Lake Bryan, where we do water operations. And those are going to be our three communities. So the trainees that are getting their measles training then will have the tasks of how do we restore communications and how do we support operations during the outage of the services with other first responders during this incident.
Okay, all right. And under the do you see the ITSL as, I mean, hey, we have X amount of bandwidth coming into this area right now. Is the ITSL going to be the guy that basically controls the knob in terms of who's getting the bandwidth where, you know, as the incident response evolves?
Exactly, yeah. That'll be the person that will not only know what we've got available and controls the knobs, and the ITSL position is designed to report directly to incident command. So as resources are made available or as situations change, the ITSL will keep the incident command structure, keep the incident commander abreast of what's happening and what resources are there, so that the incident commander can manage the rest of the operations appropriately. That's part of the training process, is how do you keep leadership informed. Part of it, for example, could be contacting FirstNet for ancillary resources such as cellular on wheels or a SAT kit or something like that. It could involve building out your own local infrastructure, utilizing other infrastructure from other local resources. That's the kind of thing the ITSL will need to understand to be able to do his or her job properly.
Okay, all right. And what kind of tools are you all looking to have in the toolkit during these scenarios? Are we talking data, messaging, drones? What kind of things do you see being used in the scenario?
Yeah, so some of the tools that we are working on incorporating as we speak are things like multi-jurisdictional messaging. There's some work going on by Texas DPS on one platform. Nikki is working with Department of Homeland Security on another platform. So we're looking at how do we integrate those various types of platforms, and how do we use, because messaging is always a very good backup form of it's a very good form of communications, especially if voice is not enabled, things like that. There's information sharing work we have been doing with Broadcom or CA Technologies, and of course the Department of Homeland Security ECD group is working on an information sharing framework task force, and I'm actually a part of that task force. And there they look at what's the structure they utilize to share information between jurisdictions in a multi-jurisdictional situation. We're looking at we've got mission critical push to talk that'll be implemented. Part of the scenario is going to be an outage caused by the cyber attack on the P25 system. So we'll be going into this without land mobile radio. IoT framework, how do we manage and work with sensors that are available on the network to help determine what's going on. So there's a number of different tools. So the ITSL trainees Well, number one, need to understand those tools, and number two, be able to go in and properly implement them and make them part of the disaster response as it goes on.
Okay, all right. Are you all going to be using drones at all?
Oh, yes, that's always a valuable resource, especially for looking at where is the damage, what is the damage, how do we respond to the damage, and possibly even it might be part of the response effort in terms of augmenting the communication. So, drones are, aerial-based vehicles are going to be a significant part of any exercise that we do going forward.
Okay.
Wow. The people that are doing the scenario work right now, we've got a team of first responders that are from Texas Department of Public Safety, from Harris County, from Brazos County, from the FirstNet Authority. That's meeting on a weekly basis. Actually, now they're meeting twice a week to go ahead and get the scenarios all put together and make sure that we have the appropriate response people there. And again, the ITSLs that we will be working through the training exercises are students that have gone through the coursework and will again use this exercise to go ahead and help them sign off on some of their tasks.
All right. Very cool. Well, this sounds like a great thing, and I really enjoyed, being there last year. This sounds even better. Can you tell us a little bit about how people can attend? And then maybe participate either as a first responder or as a vendor, and be part of these scenarios.
Okay, well, there's really two activities going on, as I said, during the week. The first one is the workshop. The workshop is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the workshop is open to everyone. So anyone that's interested, whether you be a governmental person, industry person, first responder, or whatever, you're welcome to sign up and attend. At the workshop, we've got a number of presenters that will be talking in a lot more detail on all of the items that we talked about. The University of Bosque has received funding to work on Mission Critical Push to Talk. That will be incorporated in the exercise, and there will be sections on that. Department of Homeland Security will be talking about the information sharing task force and work that's gone on to that point. The lead technology person for one of the messaging platforms will be here from the UK, talking about that platform. So we've got everything, all the threads that I've talked about are incorporated into the workshop. So that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's general registration. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the exercise, everybody that's involved with the workshop will get a tour of the exercise as it's kicking off, as it's opening on Wednesday afternoon. To actually participate in the exercise, though, we do ask that you be a first responder or an official governmental observer. Official governmental observers will have some writing responsibilities and helping with the after action report and things like that. But there are two separate registrations on that. There is a charge for the workshop. There is no cost involved in the exercise. So make sure that you do have the right one done. The exercise, actually, you will put in your registration, and then you will be qualified and accepted once the registration goes in. But again, keep in mind that is two separate exercises or two separate activities closely tied together.
Okay, and people can sign up for this on your website?
Yes, yeah, it's at ITEC, which is Internet 2 Technology Evaluation Center. So it's itech.tamu.edu, as in Texas A&M University.edu.
Okay.
As it's been in the past, the major activity is going to be done at Disaster City. And those of you that are not familiar with Disaster City, it's a public safety training facility that is several hundred acres that involves collapsed buildings, derailed trains, underground infrastructure, where in essence we could do rescue operations. And it's run by TEKS, by the Engineering Extension Service. Engineering Extension Service trained last year 195,000 first responders. So it is, you know, by far the largest public safety training facility and an organization in the world, and very, very well known.
Very true. Well, I'll tell you, it's an impressive facility, and you know, if anybody gets a chance to go down there and see it, I highly encourage it. Well, Walt, congratulations on getting ready for another Winter Institute, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, especially if you're from the northern part of the country, come on down. Our weather typically, we can't guarantee anything at the end of January. It could be 28 degrees. It could be 80 degrees. We're not really sure what it'll be at that time. But typically, it's a lot more temperate than it is up north. So this will be a welcome break and a very, very worthwhile exercise and operation. We do need everyone's attendance because we use this as a learning opportunity as much as a teaching opportunity. So input from all of the folks out there that are listening is very, very important. If you do have questions you'd like to ask or information you'd like to provide that we maybe should consider and you don't have the opportunity to make it, then you can also email me that information. And the alias to my email is telecom, telecom@tamu.edu. So I'm always available for you if you have any questions or comments. And we need and want the help, and hopefully look forward to seeing you.
All right. Well, Walt, thanks again, and good luck at the Winter Institute next month.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.